Are we ready to get this show on the railroad?
Oh, yeah, we're railroading so hard here. Claps. 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm struggling a little bit today. Sorry, you made me laugh because you wrote the Onion bot InfoWars.
It's true news, even though I learned about it on the Onion.
Did you know that? I think that I saw a tweet or a skeet about Fox News reporting that uncritically that the Onion has like 4.3 trillion weekly readers.
That's hilarious.
They will now. So.
Oh, I hope that they hire Alex Jones, because honestly, I don't know if satire could, like, improve upon him.
True. Like I said, the Onion keeps having to move more and more crazy to stay satire.
Because they keep predicting things like high-speed buses that become true. So, welcome to the internet. Live from the Marriott Library at the University of Utah, this is the Red Line Podcast. I'm your host, quote, three raccoons in a trench coat, unquote, and these are my co-hosts.
Kyle, quote, soundproof podcast booth full of raccoons, close quote, Holland, and...
Alex, quote, did we just bring back co-hos again, close quote, Fielder. Today we're talking about the third and final episode of the New Jersey Transit light rail lines, if it can be called light rail at all. We'll talk Interurbans and NJT River Line after the news.
Kyle, make the noise.
Yeah, hold up. I was trying to find a tweet.
Did you say co-hos or did you say co-hos?
I kind of mixed the two.
Okay. The mind hears what it wants kind of thing.
Yeah, I was in a hybrid. Hybrid situation.
Okay.
Kathy Hochul has finally stopped caving to the 13 New Jerseyites who drive into Manhattan for work, and congestion pricing will at last be implemented in early January, more than half a year after it was supposed to take effect. New York's new plan will see a decreased toll of only $9 to enter the Central Business District, with other tolls implemented citywide to make up for the funding gap that this would create for the MTA. All around, a good move, but clearly election-informed, I think.
Yeah, this announcement was suspiciously made, like, just after election results were done.
Like, oh, we lost this election because people are idiots and think that inflation is Joe Biden's fault? Okay, let's reduce costs on this from $15 to $9.
Well, it's always the incumbent's fault.
Well, yeah. Donald Trump did COVID. That's right.
Donald Trump did COVID.
New liberal conspiracy theory just dropped.
Bush did COVID.
I thought he was dead by then.
Obama?
Oh, you mean Bush Jr.
What if they all did COVID? The deep state.
I am the deep state.
I am so deep into the state right now.
Yeah, man, I love that state lore. That's why I deep the state. Anyway, Kyle, say the other news item.
Oh, yeah, it's my turn for that. Sorry, I just finished Googling the other news item. So, in a news article published by The Onion, The Onion states that The Onion has bought InfoWars at bankruptcy auction because Alex Jones got sued by the parents of all the children who got shot to death at Sandy Hook because he lied on live television and now owes like over $1 billion in defamation.
What's even...
Understandably, Alex Jones does not have $1 billion. He is not successful at being a business person despite his best efforts, so goodbye all of his property.
Well, yeah, I mean, it turns out you can't like make $1 billion by selling like scam boner pills and stuff.
Like I said, despite best efforts.
What's even funnier about the Onion buying it is the victims' families got money from Alex Jones and they gave that money to the Onion to buy InfoWars.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll see what The Onion does with that. I'm very curious. Alex Jones is fighting this in court because he doesn't like the result.
Well, he doesn't really have a right to say, does he?
They stole InfoWars from us. Many people are saying the Democrats, they stole InfoWars, just like they stole the election, including the election that I won, which they also stole.
My favorite bit that Alex Jones has tweeted about this, because obviously you got to start flame wars on Twitter about everything, is, quote, "The Connecticut Democrats with the Onion newspaper bought us." Close quote. Why?
Wait, is the Onion headquartered in Connecticut? Because if it is, that really changes my perception of it.
The company is based in Chicago, the Onion is.
Okay, then why did he say Connecticut?
Yeah, why are we being anti-Connecticut now?
I mean, you know, screw Connecticut, but not for the reasons Alex Jones doesn't like it.
Was it where the families are that got the settlements?
Yeah, it was in Connecticut. Okay.
Well, is Alex Jones just asking for, like, a second defamation lawsuit? Like, he's still going at it. This has already proven to be a terrible idea.
Well, you see, but he didn't actually do anything wrong, and this is just the sort of deep state censorship coming for him that's trying to install totalitarianism in America.
You know, Alex Jones is sounding really censored right now. I definitely can't hear everything he's shouting, whether I want to or not.
Well, you see, censorship doesn't actually mean censorship by the government. What censorship means is anyone saying that they don't like what you said. Do you understand why right-wingers cry about censorship so much these days now?
I guess.
Because, you know, censorship has nothing to do with being censored. It has everything to do with anyone saying that they aren't 100% on board with what you said.
That just kind of sounds like being a snowflake. I don't know.
Being a crazy woke snowflake liberal, yeah. So, anyway, this has been The News.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what The Onion does with this after this it's gonna protracted be so legal funny. Battle. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, we're in a new era.
New Onion era. I know, right? Like, we had old Obama era Onion, which was really good. Then they were kind of sleeping for a while and just doing, like, headlines on their website. And now they're back in print, America's mm-hmm. finest news source. You can touch it with your fingers.
With 4.13 trillion weekly readers.
And now they're buying InfoWars of all things.
Well, I mean,
now
we
need the Colbert Report back now.
Yes. Oh, somebody get the Colbert Report back. Like, but make him do, instead of like the sort of like regular Republican that he used to be, make him like a MAGA guy.
Yeah.
He can sell adrenochrome or whatever on his show. Okay, so this has been the news for real this time.
Do 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 do
do.
Alex, you do the first section. Actually, do the whole thing. It's your turn today.
Do the whole thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I can do that.
It's a big step for Alex, guys.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, remind me what we're talking about.
The NJT River Line.
Which is in New Jersey.
Yes.
But which part?
The Philadelphia part.
Philadelphia, New Jersey. Okay.
Philadelphia, New Jersey. Kyle, are you trying to get yourself killed?
I'm safely in the Mountain West. The New Jerseyites can't breathe the air up here, so I'll be okay.
Yeah, they would die immediately if they came here. True story. Look it up.
Something about pressure. Okay, well, I guess let's get started. Woohoo! I'm excited. Okay. So the River Line began its life as a part of the Camden and Amboy Railway, which is kind of insanely specific railway that could only exist in the chaos of the 1800s.
I know. I love how they used to name these just after where they went.
Where
and if they
goes.
Were feeling really spicy, they would add light and traction to the end of the name.
This is the Where I Go Railroad.
I miss all of the old naming schemes.
Yeah.
Everything's like, just bland.
I would much rather go to, like, Jim Bob and Son's grocery store than, like, Walmart, right? Like, isn't that better?
Well, and worse than Walmart, we've got these new, like, techie mononyms.
Yeah.
I would love to personally ride on the South Salt Lake and Sugar House Light and Traction Company's streetcar.
Oh, unfathomably based.
Yeah.
Are we going to break up the UTA system?
We're going to balkanize in fucking Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah, it will be. So we will have the Provo, Salt Lake, and Ogden Railway, and that will be the front runner. And then we will have the Salt Lake County Light and Traction Company, which will be tracks. And then we will have the Salt Lake Bus Corporation.
Maybe we just break it up by each bus garage.
Oh, even better. Like the Salt Lake Bus Company, the Timpanogos, I don't know, Motor Coach.
Electric Trolley Company. I'm manifesting.
The Timpanogos Motor Coach Corporation. Yeah. You could do so much.
Oh, yeah. And fair payment is going to be utterly irrational. Ooh. Should we do another news item on UTA's upcoming fare changes or leave that for another episode?
Leave it for next time.
Okay. Don't let me forget.
So, a fun fact about this awesomely named Camden and Amboy Railway. It was one of the earliest railways. I just cannot say well, speech impediment.
Railways.
Railways in the US. And it was the first to use wooden ties and T-section rails. So, a pioneer.
How do you be the first to do that?
What did they use before wooden ties?
It was like child labor. I guess probably like the bodies of dead people. I don't know. It was the 1800s.
Probably.
Yeah, but it was like the first railway to use wooden ties in the country. So apparently like the first like proper modern railway in the country was like between like a suburb of freaking Philadelphia and an even more like unimportant suburb of Philadelphia.
Well, and we have a map we're looking at right now. And it's a long line. It's very straight, but how do you even justify an own company for just this one line?
Because labor used to cost nothing, I think.
Well, and also in terms of just corporate structure.
$4 a year.
Oh, my, yeah.
To like,
we've come a long way.
Run your entire railroad and he would do it because otherwise you could just like kill him for striking.
Well, and even in terms of corporate structure, like back in the day, it was normal to have all your different classes of railroads, all these random little short lines and commuter companies all running their own little thing. Like the smallest possible scale is like one maintenance facility and one line, and that can run independently, no problem. We just lump them together mostly for funding, administrative, and fare collection purposes. But
economies of scale.
Yeah, and like even for fare collection, back then, if fare is just a nickel, what do you need an integrated fare card system for? They haven't even invented plastic.
They probably have, but they haven't invented
microplastic.
A nickel to ride from Amboy to Camden.
Quote, Sophie, 2024.
That is my favorite thing to do.
I wish we could bring back the specialty fare tokens.
That would be cool.
Turns out it's cheaper to make everything out of microplastics.
Yeah, but it's bad for the environment. Check
do wooden tokens then.
Well, turns out those wear out quickly.
Kyle, you're no fun. You know that.
Thanks.
Why do you hate fun? Parentheses wooden tokens. Close parentheses.
Me when I'm making counterfeit wooden tokens on my CNC machine.
So true. I do this every day.
Yeah, that's pretty common. Anyway.
Really, I would just undo inflation to the point where dollar is fair and then use dollar coins.
Kyle, you do not want to experience deflation.
I mean like time warp thing, not like fuck the economy thing.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, this is entirely a fantasy.
I have a lot of time warp fantasies. But anyway, the line we're talking about today changed hands, changed ownership several times over the years. Eventually, it ended up in the lap of the Pennsylvania
Railroad. Of course it did.
And it was consolidated into the Penn Central and then found its final home at Conrail.
All right, so is any of this right-of-way part of the modern NEC, then?
No.
Damn. They have so many bloody railways over there.
Yeah, only a bit envious.
Only a bit.
If they could spare one, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, send us the rails.
Yeah. Passenger service, though, continually ran over the line in one form or another from 1830 all the way until 1961, representing almost 130 years of continuous commuter service, which is wowza. That's
right,
very
and
impressive.
And if it had like not ended, it would have had like basically like 200 years of commuter service in like 5 years.
Hot diggity darn. Maybe we shouldn't have canceled everything in like the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s.
And I do love these like intermodal commutes that people used to have where you would like, because this is what people would do, is they would take this to Camden, New Jersey, and then they would get on a ferry to Philadelphia because there was no bridge. So
maybe don't give Camden crap for being insignificant. The Jersey City of New York.
I don't think it is. Just looking at it, there are no like...
It's across the river.
Yeah, but there's no high rises.
You show up on your rail terminal and you take a ferry. Oh, well, skill, it's a skill issue?
I guess, probably.
It's also Philly, so there's not as much peer pressure to do high rises.
I suppose.
Peer pressure.
Anyway, bring us to the inception.
Yeah, so the inception, by 1960s-ish, commuter service on the Jersey side of Delaware was drying out, and people needed a new way to get into Philly. Lo and behold, the Patco Speed Line arrived on the scene to save the day.
Patco Speed Line, my beloved.
Another wonderful naming scheme.
I feel like we've covered this one before.
We have covered the Patco Speed Line. We have a whole episode on it.
Do we remember which episode?
Episode number 20, Spooky Special, The Ghost Metros.
Oh.
No, I thought, was that a Ghost Metros? I thought it was its own.
It's on the Ghost Metros one.
Oh, okay.
Next to the Baltimore Metro Subway Link, the Miami Metro Rail, and the Cleveland Red Line.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Go watch or die or else.
Or listen, because it's a podcast.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
True.
So the Patco Speed Line was originally planned to have three lines, one of which would have served the same area as the River Line along a different route, but only the Camden-Linwood line that exists today was ever built.
I was going to say, the name is awfully singular.
Not the Patco Speed Lines, as it turns out.
Unfortunately. So, the Delaware Shore was left without truly reliable rail transit until the age of grunge arrived in the 90s.
Grunge?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's least favorite style of music.
Which is somewhat understandable.
And this is directly responsible for the creation of new rail transit.
No, I just wanted to make a joke about grunge.
Oh, okay.
It's, yeah.
You grunging on G.
It was the age of grunge. Well, we can get into that later, but what would today's age be?
The age of stupidity, perhaps? The age of TikTok?
Hyperpop? Question mark?
It is not the age of hyperpop.
Insert genre. Insert genre. Core.
Core.
Taylor Swift core, probably.
Sure. I'll take it.
Well, in this age of grunge, NJT started working on plans to build a new transit line between the state capital at Trenton and the important Philadelphia suburb of Camden. This was also an economically distressed area, so spurring new development was an important consideration.
I'm not sure that was the correct word there. I would say is, but that's sort of irrelevant.
Would you say it was worse back then or worse today?
Definitely worse back then.
Okay, so was might be okay. Maybe was / is.
I reckon you're right.
Yeah. But a number of alternative lines were considered, but a line from Glasgow to Trenton via Camden was eventually settled upon, with the initial operating segment to be built between Camden and Trenton. The line would be 34 miles long and in total cost $1.1 billion.
What's that per mile? It's like 30 million, right?
And this was in 1999.
So it's like tracks ballpark, basically.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Similar,
like in the
similar
same
time.
Ballpark, I mean.
You know, that's not too bad.
Yeah, except it had a cooler name.
No, I think tracks is cooler than Riverline.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was the Patco Speed Line.
No, we're talking about the Riverline.
Okay. Apparently getting up for 10 seconds was a terrible idea.
I must have been, because you apparently were like out of the loop.
I think I missed like the most important part of that entire conversation, going to turn off my AC.
Oops. Mm.
Wait, well, why'd you have AC running?
That's a bloody wonderful question. Like I said, it's turned off now.
Okay. A contract was signed in 1999 and construction began the next year. It would be a mostly double-tracked line using DMU light rail vehicles built by Stadler. Woot! Yippee!
Ooh. I'm assuming back then they shipped them in?
I think so, yeah. I don't think there was a Stadler plant in the U.S. yet.
No, and they were very, very early to adopt DMUs. Interestingly, for a line of this scope, the original line was built entirely with state funding, which is even more impressive when we're comparing it to tracks.
Yeah, zero federal dollars involved at all, just NJT money.
Damn.
They really knew how to do it back then.
Yeah, they weren't woke.
Well, it's also NJT, so they presumably have money and, you know, fair money and funding.
They weren't woke or broke. Try and make that make sense.
Whoa.
They were rather bespoke.
Hmm.
Oh. Good one.
You see,
Kyle.
It's funny because in America, it's bespoke to be capable of doing planning, funding, and construction.
Instead of just usual, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like slam poetry, Kyle. That was good.
This is the most low budget slam poetry I've ever conceived of.
Well, the Camden Trenton segment was finished in 2004, a fantastic year for America, and open to the public to generally positive reviews and decent ridership for what it was. One interesting fact, the line was initially built without a transfer station to the NJT Atlanta City line, but public outcry meant that one had to be added in 2013.
Yeah, so if you go to where the junction station is now, there just didn't used to be one. They were just like, Who needs a transfer between important commuter rail line and brand new light rail line? They'll just sort of pass in the night. And everyone was like, this is really stupid. Why did you do this? And they were like,
we would like to use the train.
Oh, our bad. So then they built one.
It did take them quite a while to build it, didn't they?
It kind of did, didn't it?
Mm. But they probably planned for earlier and then got delayed by the recession.
Oh, yeah.
No, they started building it in 09, actually.
Oh.
So it took them 4 years to build this station, which is a whole nother conversation.
Interesting. Let me see. Okay, yeah. So the Glasbro line was meant to begin construction only a few years later after opening of the initial segment in 2009, but local opposition was very strong for some reason. Hasn't been built.
Pores, racism, etc., the usual thing.
Right, only poor people ride trains.
So true, obviously. Especially in the Northeast Corridor.
That's like, the concept.
I don't know. I feel like that's an argument you can reasonably make in some places, like rich people don't ride trains in like Phoenix, but
sure.
In freaking like Philadelphia suburbs, I guarantee you that rich people ride the train.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So despite the line not having been built yet, an environmental impact study was completed in 2021, and now it's in the design and engineering phase. So who knows how long that'll take. Apparently, local opposition is still strong. Some random township held a non-binding referendum on the project and voted against it 70-30, which must be the township of Evilville.
I think that the township was Mantua, New Jersey. And
Mantua?
Mantua, yeah.
Mantua.
Is that anything like Hawktua?
It's similar.
Isn't that by Brigham City?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
but
in
this
a
one
Sardine
is
Canyon.
Different and worse. Because unlike the Mantua of Utah, which primarily gets its city revenue by giving people traffic tickets, this one is evil. No, but I love to be like, this is just like the greater Idaho people who like put like a billion non-binding referendums on the ballot in every county to be like, we want to be part of Idaho because Oregon is woke. Wah, wah. It has no effect, and they're just doing it to be like, to be bitchy, basically.
And apparently the line will largely run along existing Conrail right-of-way.
Yeah, but you see, if passengers are on the train, then crime, noise, etc. Come on, Kyle, what are you thinking?
You want to hop on the train and ride it to economically segregated areas and commit crimes only against rich people?
Oh yeah, we do that all the time, don't we, Kyle?
What crime should we even do?
Stealing or murder.
Yeah, let's go like hijack an RV or something.
Petty theft sounds good.
We could steal a pool.
I think it would be more fun to like randomly murder some like children playing in the street.
No, I was thinking we could kidnap the children and take them back on tracks, which
crime
is definitely not plastered in cameras, and
to
then
Crime Lake City.
Go do crime. Yeah, to Crime Lake City. Big crime.
I know people who would save Crime Lake City unironically.
Rocky moment.
Serious Rocky moment. And we have to bring him up every episode.
He does not deserve this much airtime.
Hey, we didn't bring him up. We haven't brought him up in a long time. We brought up the other guy last
episode.
Time.
No, we brought him up last episode.
No, I didn't. I brought up Michael Valentin last episode.
Oh, yeah. No, I get them confused in my head. You're right about that. Anyway, the system today, it seems like a pretty good line overall with pretty good ridership, with peak focus service mostly. It got something like 10,000 daily riders before the pandemic, so really not too bad. But there's some problems. There's some big problems.
Huge problems, some of the biggest problems we've ever seen on a train, maybe ever. So apparently something is like really, really, really wrong with the train's AC systems, because they are have like almost all of their trains out of service at the moment and have effectively cut service.
That's awkward. Don't you need them to run service?
It turns out you do, yeah. They've effectively cut service back to every hour on a line that has 15-minute service during rush hour.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
It's actually gotten so bad that they have to run supplementary bus service between busy stations to try and keep passengers.
To fit the people.
And relieve overcrowding. So
people are still piling on board even though it's only hourly.
Well, yeah, you got to get to your line. Office job in Center City, Philadelphia.
Here, hold on. My cat is scratching at the door.
Friend of the pod, Alex's cat.
Oh my god. Stop that.
I hope you're keeping all of this in, Kyle.
Okay.
Probably. I did last time, I think.
Anyway, so can they... I don't know, is it that hot out east where they need AC this time of year?
I don't know, but like apparently it's a big enough issue that they have to like run with like two trains on the entire 33-mile system. So
they only have two working AC units.
Window AC unit on a train, one.
Gotham core.
That would be the most DOT not approved thing ever.
That would be like very Gotham, though. I agree with Alex. Like, I feel like that was in The Dark Knight at some point.
Yeah. It definitely was.
Also, this summer, they hit a 15-year-old kid, which has prompted serious community backlash. So, tough times for the River Line.
Any more information on that, or are we just leaving it there?
That's all I got. I didn't look into them hitting the kid. But I assume that hitting a kid is generally seen as bad.
Yeah,
I was just looking at one of the furthest swinging anti-Glassboro Camden Line websites, and they say that lots more kids will die if they build the extension.
yes.
Which is unlikely to actually be true. I feel like there are ways around this issue other than just not having trains.
No. Yeah, cars don't kill people, trains do.
No. No, absolutely not. Cars are good for people.
Okay, well, and I'm also informed that the Glassboro-Camden line is evil because it will have grade crossings, and those will delay emergency services because...
Oh my gosh.
I hate it when people say that.
Are people really trotting out that argument? Like, that is the stupidest possible argument.
Well, it's the crossings are going to, like, ruin traffic, and there's going to be spillover traffic everywhere waiting for the grade crossings.
Of course.
Because, you know, trains cause car traffic, as is well known. they're going to have to do a right-of-way widening with some eminent domain and steal some of people's backyards.
Whatever
and
will
pay
they do
them
with
for
the
it.
Patch of grass that they never use?
I know.
And let's see it. It will kill kids. The environmental damage will run off into the wetlands and the drinking water and the endangered species.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Oh, yeah, because car tires do none of that.
No.
Definitely none of that. And also, they're going to sound the train horn every time at every crossing. And the only way to fix that is to get rid of, like, the concept of a train and definitely not to just get a goddamn quiet zone. Mm. Which would also help with the grade crossing safety issue.
Well, that settles it.
So, a very serious argument, clearly.
Lots of serious arguments, backed up by, like, actual evidence that these things happen. Also, they're pushing a solution of just doing electric buses.
Oh, of course.
Which will solve all problems. So I'd imagine if somebody proposed electric buses, they'd oppose that as well.
I love greenwashing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they care more about their streets being torn up quicker with the weight of electric buses?
Well, they would, like I said, they'd also argue against electric buses, right?
Right, like, so. They'll argue for this. Like, oh, we want electric buses instead. That's better for the environment. It's less loud. It won't kill children. Blah, blah, blah.
No.
And then as soon as they're like, okay, we're doing electric buses, they'll be like, we don't want electric buses. That will destroy our character and bring the pores and tear up our streets. And
LA's been getting this sort of behavior, like, really, really bad with their rail expansions. Like, surface running rail, wah, wah, it's loud. It'll kill all the children. We don't want that. Aerial rail, wow, wow, we don't want to look at it. Underground rail, wow, wow, it's too close to the surface. We might notice a vibration, even though you won't. That's not true. You better put it deeper underground. Wow, wow, you can't tunnel at us under us at all. You got to go tunnel somewhere else.
Like, otherwise, we'll die.
More layers to the onion. Like, every time we try to solve any of these perceived issues that have little basis in reality or are easily remedied, they'll find more.
The onion mentioned again. Well, there's still plans for future extensions. The Glasgow Camden extension, though it might not run through, just use the same equipment as in shared terminuses, whatever the correct way to pluralize that is.
I think it's termini.
Termini? I feel like terminize, right? An expansion to the state capital in Trenton and West Trenton, which is unlikely, and more double tracking. But the main problem with that
two
is
tracks.
I know that would be crazy, and people would hate it more because it would require taking away some car lanes on certain roads.
Not the car lanes. Now the trains are really causing car traffic.
That could ever happen to anyone. Is losing a car lane.
You joke, but this is like maybe one of the biggest problems plaguing high-speed rail projects in the U.S. Like, we have all these giant interstates. We did a bunch of damage to put the right-of-ways in before. We could use the medians for high-speed rail, but in a lot of cases that's just not an option because you can't take away so much as a single goddamn lane without the entire world melting down.
Yeah, because that would destroy the universe.
I know, like, I follow this YouTube channel, Lucid Stew, who does like really good in-depth 3D rendered geometry exact concepts of high-speed rail in various areas, all very pragmatic, lots of use of existing right-of-way, that sort of thing. And he'll always make sure to never take away so much as a single lane or a single ramp anywhere ever, because he knows that would actually kill the project.
Because Americans love cars more than people.
This is true.
So,
and cars don't cause car traffic. We're still in denial about that.
No, cars don't do anything. Cars are perfect. No. And
cars are perfect. They're a force of God.
Ordained by God,
If you ask
according
the Mormon
to the LDS
Church
basically.
Yeah.
You've seen their parking facilities.
The Hodge Colds.
You know it's bad when there's more space for parking than there is for actual religious ceremony.
Yeah.
The priorities.
RATVRN to horse hitching posts and stroller parking.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the episode.
Wow.
Hopefully their trains start working.
Yeah, that would be good. This is not on my bucket list of lines I'd like to ride, to be completely honest with you. But
that's fair.
No, no, no. It's New Jersey. It's going to be completely full of, like, niche commuter lines that a startling number of people depend on.
I think you just
even the unremarkable ones are important.
Defined New Jersey, quote, a bunch of niche commuter lines that a surprising number of people rely on.
Hey, this is what having a functioning transportation system and urban planning from, like, before 1900 is like, right?
Shocking.
Like, I, too, would love to have a startling number of niche commuter lines that lots of people depend on.
I would love to have one commuter line.
Yeah.
Period. But, end of sentence.
I know. I'm asking too much.
I'm glad New Jersey is enjoying having multiple.
New Jersey is enjoying having like a veritable warren of weird trains.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they fix them. Hopefully they can get an extension, and hopefully the people fighting the extension will make like a single good faith argument.
That's hilarious. Good luck with that, Kyle.
Yeah. Like I said, I hope. And not like Obama hope, like regular broke hope.
Not Obama hope.
We're going to start mentioning Obama every episode instead of Rocky.
Yeah, because we're resist libs now.
Obama, famous resist lib.
But... I'll read the conclusion this time.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you will, because you're in charge.
Oh, yeah. I'm secretly pulling the
strings.
You're
a big man, you are.
This is my puppet state. So, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and to follow and leave us a rating on iTunes and Spotify. If you like what we do here, please consider becoming a member on Patreon. Patrons receive early access to all of our regular content, as well as exclusive content and occasional merch drops. Speaking of patrons...
At, Camden and Amboy Railway tier, we have... $10 a month. We have Zach Adams, Aaron, Curtis Herring, Devin Zander, Phobos2390, and Tony Stunts.
At the Patco Speedline, $5 a month, we have Christopher Whaley, DJ
Hi Will
Watkins, Elijah Kensler, G4, Isaac Madsen, Jesse Mayo, Nebula, Reluctant LA Resident, Robert P. Walsh, and Zephyr Zamoro.
At the two unbuilt sections of the Patco Speed Lines, plural, tier, $3 a month, we have Alex Dykelski, Alice MYOB, Ben, Bradley Bondi, Ethan McDonald, Evelyn, Jack McCoskey, Litmus Zest, Martin Hecker Martinez, Matt Gray, McKay Ransom, Oliver, Purple Waves, Sam Myers, Sky Lakowski, and Zach Verstott.
And at NJT Riverline tier... $1 a month, we have Benjamin Wood, Joshua S. Horvath, Kapil, and William Rowe. Thanks for listening.
I'm slightly offended that that ended up being the lowest tier.
Well, I mean, Patco and...
Yeah, Patco.
...is pretty good, so...
Yeah.
Thanks for listening! Thanks for listening.